dear sisters and brothers in Christ. Stories are very powerful. A couple of my favorite stories begin in this way. A long time ago, in a galaxy far, far away, if you've seen those letters marching up the screen, you probably know what comes next. And then there's this one. In a hole in the ground, there lived a hobbit. Not a nasty, dirty, wet hole. And that's the beginning of the story of the hobbit, and also the very beginning of the story of the Lord of the Rings, another one of my favorite stories. Just for 1 minute or so, I'd invite you again to turn to one another and to talk with one another about what is your favorite story or your favorite stories. What are the ones that you always keep coming back to? Just have a bit of a chat about that for 1 minute. All right. John shared with me that his favorite story at the moment is Lawson, his young son. He loves talking about him. He loves describing his life. I think that all of us want to believe that our lives are not just a random series of unconnected events. Not just an event here and something else that happened over there and another event. I think that we all want to believe, and this, I believe, has been put inside us by God, that there's actually meaning and purpose in our lives. And we can actually understand that meaning and that purpose as we understand that our lives are encompassed in a bigger story. There's something beyond ourselves. The things that happen to us are not just random, but they're connected and they shape us and they shape our lives. So let's have a look at the story of Pentecost as it was shown to us there on the animation. On the day of Pentecost, there were people who had gathered in Jerusalem from all over the Mediterranean world. And they actually list all the countries there. There's about 13 different areas of people who have come together. Parthians, Medes and Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, all these unfamiliar words, Egypt and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs. We hear these people, the disciples, declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues. So there are people who've gathered from all over the Mediterranean world to come to Jerusalem for the feast of Pentecost, which was the celebration of God giving his people the covenant of the Ten Commandments. These were people who already believed in God. They were already Jews, and they were connected into God's story. But for them, it was probably easy to think that the things they were celebrating were a long time ago and far, far away. But actually, on this day, God became very personal to them. They heard the disciples speaking in their own mother tongue. God was speaking to each of the people in their own heart language. Now, I don't know if you've ever been overseas, and when you've been overseas, if you've ever heard another Australian. It's a remarkable experience. You kind of zone in on them and go, yes, I know that person. They're talking my language. Even if you're in an English-speaking country, it's quite an experience. Each of the people who were gathered on Pentecost heard Peter and the other apostles and the disciples of Jesus speaking in their mother tongue. It was able to go straight to their heart. They went, I know that voice. They're speaking my language. They're talking about the story of God in remarkable ways. And the story of God became very personal for all of the people who heard Peter's preaching. It wasn't just long ago and far away. It was happening to them right at that moment. Peter preaches that the story of God gets personal in the death and resurrection of Jesus. And let me read to you from just a little bit further on from the book of Acts. Peter says, people of Israel, listen to this.
Jesus of Nazareth was a man accredited by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs which God did among you through him, as you yourselves know. This man was handed over to you by God's set purpose and foreknowledge, and you, with the help of wicked men, put him to death by nailing him to the cross. But God raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death, because it was impossible for death to keep its hold on him. The story of God gets personal in the death and resurrection of Jesus because it shows us that sin is personal. This is a broken relationship with God. It affects our attitudes and our actions and the way that we treat ourselves and other people, and particularly affects our relationship with God. And Peter is preaching, and he preaches right to the heart, and he is saying, whatever you may have thought about Jesus, you are connected with his death. It was for your sins, Peter says, for my sins, that Jesus died on the cross. I know that we are victims of sin. We are hurt by the broken relationship that we have with God and others. But we're also perpetrators. We're also guilty of breaking that relationship with God. My wrongdoing and my evil actions and attitudes come under God's judgment. But on the cross, Jesus took that judgment for me and for you. So sin is very personal. We can't escape from it. We can't say, well, that's only the bad people who, you know, really deserve God's judgment. All of us fall under that. Peter also preaches that grace is personal. Grace is the good news of what God does for us through Jesus. Later on in Acts chapter 2, a little bit further on, it says this. Peter says to the crowd, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Grace is personal because my life is tied up with Jesus' new life. When Jesus rose from the dead, he rose in order to be able to give new life to me and to you. My life is connected and interwoven with the resurrection of Jesus. Your life is connected and interwoven with Jesus' resurrection. Your life is given to you as a gift because of the forgiveness of sins that comes through Jesus. Peter preaches that God is personal. God can't be held at a distance. God pours out his Holy Spirit on all who believe. And to show that, Peter quotes from the Old Testament prophet Joel. He says, in the last days, God says, I will pour out my Spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my Spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. Now, this is remarkable to me. God himself, through the Holy Spirit, comes to live with us and in us. And you might think, well, I'm not worthy to have God living with me. And in one sense, you'd be right. You're not worthy. But God chooses to give the gift of his Holy Spirit to all those who believe in Jesus. God himself comes to live in us. God is personal. He can't be held at arm's length. He wants to be intimate with us. He wants to restore the relationship that we are meant to have with him. If sin is personal and grace is personal, and if God is personal, then the response is also personal. At the end of Peter's Pentecost Day sermon, he says to the crowd, actually they're really convicted, they're cut to the heart, and they say to Peter and the other apostles, "Brothers, what shall we do?" And Peter says, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." So the response is to repent, which is turning away from sin and turning to God, and to be baptized, that is, to receive God's grace, to take the gift of his forgiveness that he gives to us. Now, there's two groups of people in the room that I'd like to talk to briefly tonight. First, there are those of you here, I believe, who may have an inkling that God exists, just like the Jews who came to hear the message on Pentecost Day. But you've never really known that God is personal. You haven't realized that your story is tied up with God's story. If that's you tonight, I pray that the Holy Spirit will be at work in you to draw you into God's story, to let you know that your life is not a meaningless jumble of events, but that it has purpose and that you are deeply loved by God. I'd invite you to think and pray about receiving the gift of baptism, because baptism is the enacted gospel. It's God at work pouring out his forgiveness and his grace in your life. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, the best and most precious gift that God can give, the gift of himself, to come and to live with you and to help you to follow Jesus. Second, I'd like to talk to the people here who already know that they're in God's story. Those of you who've been baptized, who've come to realize that Jesus is Lord and Savior. And for you, I'd say, keep repenting. Keep turning away from sin and back to the grace that God gives you, the forgiveness that he gives you through Jesus. Keep believing that you are in God's story. On Pentecost Day, the story of God gets very personal. It gets personal for you, and it gets personal for me. The events of your life, whatever you may believe, are not a random jumble of events. They're not unconnected. They're part of a much larger story. Your story is enfolded in the story of God through the death and resurrection of Jesus. The story of God is woven into your life through the work of the Holy Spirit. Through Jesus, I invite you to let God be the hero of your story. Receive his gifts. Receive his forgiveness. Enter into the greatest story that has ever been told and that is still going. In the name of Christ, amen.